Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, friends, welcome back to today's episode of Everyday Truth in Romans chapter 12. One of my favorite sections of the book of Romans. I can't tell you how many times I have either quoted or preached from or referenced Romans 12, 1 and 2, and for good reason. So we slowed down a bit last episode and talked about that great transitional verse, Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all those mercies about which we spoke in verses, chapters 1 through 11, that you present your bodies. That's a choice that you have to make. I can't make it for you. A living sacrifice to yield ourselves day by day, even moment by moment, to God's use. We are stewards, even our bodies, our very lives belong to Him. Yield yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And enjoyed unpacking that a bit last episode. But verse number 2 goes with it. Notice the conjunction at the beginning of verse number 2. And so, in other words, if we are effectively to live that holy, acceptable life, acceptable is a word that applies to the purity of worship. And our lives ought to be an expression of worship. Our sacrifice, our yieldedness ought to be an example of our worship of the Lord. And the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. So the teaching of verse number 2, if we were to put it in modern language, would go something like this. Don't allow the world to stamp its image upon you. Don't allow yourself to be conformed to the thinking of, the priorities of, the culture of this world. Very similar to what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2, when he encouraged his readers to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And John breaks down the world and its component parts into these three. Of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things, they're not of the Father, they're of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here in Romans 12 and verse 2, we see the same themes. Don't be conformed to this world, and make sure that we're being transformed in our thinking so that we can properly demonstrate and live out the will of God. So what are we to understand here in verse number 2? I think what we're to understand is that we live on a battlefield. And as believers whose citizenship is not of this world, we are citizens of heaven. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a very real enemy at play in our lives. So we talk about the enemies of the believer being the world, the flesh, and the devil. So in this case, in what way is the world and its system and its values an enemy to a believer? Well, through its deceptiveness. Jesus taught about that parable of the sower, and he said that the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches can actually choke the effect of the word of God in our life. So we have to make sure that we are aware of the fact that we're in a battlefield and understand that we are countercultural as believers, that the values that this world has, like, hey, just do what's best for you and live your dream and follow your heart and all of these trite things that sometimes I hear Christians repeat are very dangerous to a Christian worldview, are very dangerous to a yieldedness to God and a sacrificial life of service for others. This world says, hey, climb the ladder. This world says, he who dies with the most toys wins. This world says health, wealth, and prosperity are the indicators of spirituality. And so there are, and we could go on and on. The point is, recognize that this world wants you to be in its image. So interesting to me that sometimes as believers, we're accused of trying to brainwash people. And what I say when people say that is guilty as charged. Of course, we're trying to brainwash people. We're trying to wash people's brains with the word of God in that sense. But I think what they're driving at is, well, you Christians, you just want everyone to think the same way. You want everyone to act the same way. You want everyone to dress the same way. You want everyone to, and that's not true. But I would say this, that as we follow the same Lord, as we memorize the same word, as we study the same Bible, there ought to be a commonality among all believers. Jesus talked about that himself, and that commonality ought to be reflected in our behavior. There ought to be love that emanates from us, and there ought to be a joy. There ought to be something about our countenance. There ought to be something about our priorities and about our schedule and about our, we could go on and on. It's interesting that the world, when it tries to stamp its culture upon, let's say, young people, it's very effective. I mean, just go to the mall on a Friday night and look at the teenagers. They're all pretty much look the same. And there's no code of conduct, but it's interesting how the world and its system is so powerful in shaping the way people think, the way people act, the way people behave, the way people, the choices people make, the priorities they have. And the Bible says, don't allow that to happen. So I guess the big question then would be, so then how? How do we prevent ourselves from becoming conformed to the thinking of, and therefore the behaviors of this world? Well, the rest of the verse helps us to understand that. So look at verse number 2 again. So be not conformed to this world, but, so there's the contrast, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you see the difference? Conformation is what happens from the outside in. But transformation is what happens from the inside out. And transformation, the word here is the word from which we get our word metamorphosis. So an entirely transformative process, like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Metamorphosis. In fact, the only other time that this word for transformed is used in the New Testament is in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul talks about being transformed into the image of Jesus. So here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says transformation takes place, that inside change that results in outside change that takes place via the renewing of the mind. So transformation is a matter of different thinking. That's the point of renewing of the mind. We see the same idea in Ephesians chapter 4, which is interesting because Ephesians 1 through 3 is kind of like Romans 1 through 11, and Ephesians 4 through 6 is kind of like Romans 12 through 16. And the idea is that our lives change as our thinking changes. That's all throughout the Bible. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, it's not that which goes into a man that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the abundance of the heart, that seat of affection, the mind, the will, the emotions, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so it's what's on the inside. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. That's the passage in James 3 about guarding your tongue. We guard our tongue by guarding our heart. We think about how often Jesus spoke about this dynamic, that it's the inside of the cup that's important, that affects ultimately the outside. So the renewing of our mind. So how then do we renew, reprogram, wash our minds? Well, the answer is through the Word of God. So faith must have an object and thoughts must have an object. Remember the Apostle Paul in Philippians said, if there be any virtue, any praise, whatsoever things are, think on these things. So our thoughts must have an object upon which to think. Are we meditating upon the Word of God? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So it's the relationship that believers have with the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17. So the renewal of one's mind is a matter of thinking the thinking on right things. It programming our mind with the truth of God's word. That's where transformation takes place. Notice that Paul did not say, okay, we are to combat the world's conforming its desire to conform us to its image, the word to combat that by doing or right feeling. No, our feelings are not the way we combat the world. Well, when I feel like serving God, or I don't feel like sinning, now that's a bad standard. Or by right doing, well, I'll just try harder. I'll have higher standards. I'll do better. I'll work harder. No, it's not doing or feeling that brings transformation. No, it's thinking. It's as we understand the truth of God's word, as our mind and our heart is informed, that we then can behave upon that which foundationally we understand. So the renewing of the mind. I've got to move more quickly to finish this verse. So be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may. So here's the result of. What's the result of transformed thinking? What's the result of that? That ye may prove. Or we might say today that you would demonstrate. So to prove is to show proof of, that this would be demonstrable, so that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So three adjectives describing God's plan and will for our lives. So how do we effectively demonstrate that we are these yielded Christians whose lives have been yielded to the service of God, whose lives are a daily offering of worship to our God, that we're different? We don't look like everybody else, think like everybody else, act like everybody else, but there's something different because there's a transformative process that's occurred from the inside out in our life, and we're behaving and thinking like Jesus. You know, how does that happen? Well, the Bible says that happens through the renewing of our mind, and it shows up in a demonstration of the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so your life and mine can be a demonstration of Christ-likeness, can be a demonstration of right thinking, can be a demonstration of separated living in the sense that we are not thinking like, acting like, or absorbed by the culture of this world, because we've allowed God to do that work of transformation in us. Now, it's a process, as Paul explains in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but it's the process whereby the believer yields himself to the Spirit of God, that's verse number 1, allows the Word of God to do its work in my life in cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God, and I become more like Jesus every single day. That's that trending upward process of sanctification. Hope that helps. I know it helps me. We're going to jump into verse number 3 and move a little bit more quickly. I know we're in the right-hand lane here, but I want you to see all the scenery in these verses. But we'll jump into verse number 3 next episode. Hope you'll join us for that. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.